Romans chapter 11. Now, I know that you probably thought that we should be done with Romans chapter 11 by now, but we are not even close. There's going to be at least another week in Romans chapter 11 as we talk about the nation of Israel and what God has done through them. But today I want you to be reminded through the holy word of God that the nation of Israel is very important to the Lord Jesus Christ still, to the plan of the Father in this world, and that just because salvation has gone to the Gentile people does not mean that God has forgotten the promises that he made to them. Our roots matter. Heard once about a counselor who had a couple come into his office, and he felt like they were being dishonest about the relationship that they had with one another in their marriage. They were there for marriage counseling, but it seemed like their reasoning for being in marriage counseling was that things aren't going well, but when they went into the counseling room, they acted like everything was going fine. And so he said to them, he said, "Did you notice the pear tree outside my office?" They said, "No." All right. Awesome. Okay. They said, just like that. He says, "Well, I want you to take a look at that pear tree the next time you come into my office." And they said, "All right." And so as they walked in, they came in the couple weeks later, and they looked at the pear tree, and it didn't have any fruit on it yet, but it's starting to bud a little bit. And they said, "Oh yeah, we noticed that the pear tree is starting to get some buds." And he says, "Yeah, well," he said, "just keep watching." They came in a couple weeks later, and there are leaves on the trees, and the buds are getting a little bit bigger. And he said, "You notice my tree?" And they said, "Yeah, we noticed your tree, but we can't tell anything yet." He says, "Well, you just keep watching." He came back two weeks later, and when they came into the office, there were apples on the pear tree. He walked into the office, and they said, "You lied to us. You said that that was a pear tree." And he says, "Yeah, and you said that you were believers. But the fruit on your life doesn't show that you are rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit on your life says that you're something other than what you say you are." Now, that was a pretty harsh example for them, but they got the picture. They understood that their life was not showing who they were in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to be reminded today that what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is because of the root that it was built in. The promises that we have are because of that root. And the life that we have in Christ, the reflection that we have, comes from the branches that have been harvested off of that root, off of that tree. So let's look at Romans chapter 11, verses 16 through 24. Says, "If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, 'Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in.' That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you are cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, engrafted contrary to nature and into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive trees? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It means so much to us that you would send it to us so that we can understand your plans and purposes for this world. That it would pierce into our hearts and lives and direct us in the way that we should go. And that we would understand that if we are truly connected our branch is connected to the tree which is rooted in your promises and the words that you have said, the result will be a branch that is flourishing and bearing much fruit for you. I pray, Lord, that as we understand this, that our lives would be changed and that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So he begins by saying, if the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. The nation of Israel is set apart by God because of the patriarch's surrender of themselves by faith to God and his promises. So the reason that the nation of Israel is the nation that it is because God came to Abram. And he said to Abram, what did he say? I am going to make of you a great nation. And then he said to Isaac, and he said to Jacob, this is the line through which I will do what I have promised to Abraham, and I will make of him a great nation. So the promise that we have been given, the reality of nations, Israel as a nation's relationship with God, is all based on the promises that were made to the patriarchs. And the nation of Israel was living on these promises. These first fruits, if the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. These first fruits are an acknowledgement by the children of Israel of the promise that God has given to them. They went into the land, which they did not buy, which they did not earn, which they did not develop, and it was given to them, a land already intact, of which the Israelite people said it is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And when they went into that land, when they harvested their first crop, they took that first crop and they made cakes, and they took them to be be offered in the tabernacle. And they were the first portion of their harvest, the first bread that was eaten. You ever notice that? I noticed with my grandmother when I was a child, she would make dinner. And as dinner was being made, that grandma would get all of the first portions of the meal, right? She would test everything and make sure that it was good. And it wouldn't make it to the table unless grandma thought that it was good, right? Because she'd tested it all out. Well, the nation of Israel, they wouldn't touch any of the other harvest. They wouldn't even touch it until they had given this first portion to the Lord as an offering and a sacrifice. Numbers chapter 15, verses 17 through 21 says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I bring you, and when you eat of the bread of the land, you shall present a contribution to the Lord of the first of your dough. You shall present a loaf as a contribution, like a contribution from the threshing floor. So shall you present it. Some of the first of your dough you shall give to the Lord as a contribution through your generations. He says, this is what you're going to do if you honor me in the things that I have given you. You will take the first fruits you have and you will offer them to me. And if you offer them to me, then I will make those things holy unto you. I hope that you all think of your offerings in the same way. I hope that you take the first that you have and you say, all right, the first has come in and I'm going to give this part to the Lord without question. And in that offering, that first part to the Lord, you're saying to him, really, Lord, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. You're honored and blessed in all of it. Paul uses this example to them to show them that what was first offered, were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What was first offered is holy. And because of what was first offered is holy and the promises made to them, therefore the promises are still holy because of what was made there. He says, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. So if what happened at the beginning, the first part, if the first part is good, then the branches are good off also. Everything that comes off of it is going to be good. I was reading the other day, the deacons were studying this last month, possessions, and how all of our possessions belong to God, and we're not supposed to be tied up into those things. We're not supposed to be concerned about them because they're God's to care for. But in that is the passage of Scripture that talks about money being the root of all evil, right? The love of money is the root of all evil, right? The beginning place, the starting point of all evil. Meaning, if your life is surrounded in a love for possessions, then the rest of your life is going to reflect that, right? And all of you know individuals whose lives are surrounded in finances. Their lives are surrounded in money. That is their great concern, and how they are consumed by those things. Maybe you know some individuals that their life is consumed by other things. Their life is consumed by their job, or their life is consumed by their house, or their life is consumed by their the way that their children are, and all those things. All of these things can be a root that can cause us all kinds of troubles that will be reflected in the tree that grows, right? He says, if the root is good, then the whole branch is going to be good also. The tree is going to be good also. So the root here, if the promise made to the patriarchs are to be fulfilled, then that reality must be extended to the nation coming out from those given the promise. All right, so if the promise was good to the patriarchs, let's make sure we understand this. If the promise to the Israelite nation is good for the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then the promise is good for who? The whole nation, right? Continues to be good for the whole nation. So the root here, let's not get confused, because there are other passages that talk about Jesus being the vine and all those things, right? And so we don't want to confuse the passage here. In this passage, the root is the root is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promises that have been given to them. Okay, that's the root. And the branches that come off of this tree that is growing, the branches coming off, they are the nation of Israel. All right? So what's the root? The root is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, and the branches are the nation of Israel, all right? He says, but if some of the branches were broken off. So the reality of Israel in fulfillment of the promise, who was the promise made to? The promise was made to the patriarchs, right? Has been, the reality of Israel in fulfillment of the promise has been some loss as a result of Israel's unbelief. Has everybody who grew up in Israel, have they all believed what God has said? No. Have they always been a nation that feared God and followed him? No. And as a result of that, some of the branches were broken off. All right, there's been some loss in Israel. In Romans 3:3, it says, what if some were unfaithful? Does their faithfulness nullify the faithfulness of God? So though some of Israel did not believe, it does not mean God is unfaithful to the nation. So even though that's true, that there have been many in the nation of Israel who have been broken off from the root, from the original tree, their branches have fallen off, even though that has happened, it does not mean that God was unfaithful to Israel. It means that some of Israel was unfaithful to God, right? They didn't believe him. And you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, the Gentiles, All right, so now he is, remember who he's talking to. He was talking to Israel, talking to Israel about the Gentiles. Now he's talking to the Gentiles about Israel. And he says, and you, this is talking to the Gentile people, although a wild olive shoot, so that is a shoot that did not originally belong to the tree, were grafted in among the others. All right? So the Gentiles, those not of the root, okay, so those who did not come from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, have been given a place in the promise as a result of Israel's rejection. So Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and what happened as a result? The gospel went to who? To the Gentiles. These are the rejection, are those branches broken off. And now you Gentiles, now you share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. So the Gentiles are now taking part in the blessings of the family of God as adopted children. So those Gentiles now who believed that Jesus was the Savior of the world, that he was the Jewish Messiah sent to come, they're all saved. Those individuals are saved now. And as a result of being saved, added into the tree, as a result of being saved, they now benefit as adopted children all of the promises that were promised to the nation of Israel. Wow. So that means that we can be a blessing to all of the world. Right? We can bring honor and glory and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now some of you are getting nervous and going, oh my goodness, does he think that the church and Israel are the same thing? No, I don't think that. But I do think that we are adopted into the plan, right? We are adopted into the plan. We are adopted into the promises. We are adopted into the salvation that was only going to come to the Jews, but now it's come to the Gentiles. He says here in verse 18, do not be arrogant toward those branches. So he says, now listen, you Gentiles who have been grafted in, you've been accepted as adopted children. Is anybody here who has adopted children? Adopted children? Yeah. Do you consider your adopted children any less a part of the family than your biological children? No. Not at all, right? So that's what's happened to us as Gentiles. We are part of the family of God. The Gentiles are now taking part in the blessings of the family of God. And Paul warns them now. Paul's warning to the Gentiles about their new role is this. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. So do not act like you're better than unbelieving Israel, those broken branches. As Gentiles, you have to understand there's a problem going on here in Rome. There are the Gentile believers and there are the Jewish believers. And the Gentile believers think that they are better than the Jewish believers, and the Jewish believers think that they are better than the Gentile believers, and they don't get along with each other. And Paul's saying, don't be arrogant towards the Jewish people. Without them, there is no salvation for you. So don't act like you're better than unbelieving Israel, these broken branches. We should be praying for the nation of Israel, that the nation of Israel would turn to God. That's what we should be praying for. Turn to your Messiah, Jesus Christ. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins. And if you are, then remember this. So if you are arrogant toward the nation of Israel, if you are arrogant towards those branches that have been broken off, and we can think of this the reality of life around us. Sometimes in the church, we become arrogant of those individuals who do not stay steadfast in the body of Christ. We get that way, don't we? We begin to think that we are better than they are, that we lasted and they didn't last, and we need to remember that the only reason we're lasting is because of the grace of God and not because of our greatness in ourselves. He says, if you are, then remember this. So if you become arrogant toward the Israelite people, these broken branches, remember this. It is not you who support the root, so he says. If you become arrogant toward them, remember this, that the Gentile nations have not made this possible. So the Gentiles need to be reminded of something. that without the Jews, there is no salvation. It doesn't happen. There's no Messiah. There's no Savior. Without the Jewish people, there is no salvation for the world. Salvation comes by the Jews. Salvation comes by the Jews. It's not you who support the root. The Gentiles have not made this possible, but the root that supports you. Without the nation of Israel, salvation never exists. They need to be reminded of this. They need to be reminded that if the Jewish nation is not put together, then we don't have the lineage of David. We do not have the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have the Messiah who was crucified for our sins on a cross. And when you realize this, when you realize that we wouldn't even have this salvation if it were not for the Jews, then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Then you will say, when we realize that without Israel, salvation does not come, we are humbled by the loss taken in Israel so that we would have room. We go, some of the nation of Israel rejected God, and as a result of their rejection, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. When he died on the cross for my sins, there was a place made for me in the heavens, in the gospel. And this realization that you will have when you understand that salvation comes through the Jewish people because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That realization is not wrong. Paul says in verse 20, that is true. It is true that branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. It is true that the rejection of Israel to their Messiah made possible salvation for the rest of us. They were broken off because of their unbelief. What the Bible says. Why were they broken off? Because they didn't believe. Some of Israel did not believe and they lost their place. So in the nation of Israel, it was not just about following the law. It was about believing what God had said about them as a nation, believing about what God had promised them as a nation, believing that God was their God and that there were no other God, and the result of that was their following the law. But some of them did not believe. I was listening to the radio the other day, a teacher on the Israelite nation. He was teaching through Leviticus, I believe it was, and they were talking about the year of Jubilee. Does anybody know what the year of Jubilee is? Right? You've heard of the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee, every seventh year, you had to forgive everyone their debts. And he's a Hebrew historical theologian, and he says, you want to hear something interesting about the year of Jubilee? It never took place. Not once. Not once did Israel as a nation forgive the debts of the individuals who were around them. Why? Because they didn't believe God enough to obey him. That's why. He says they were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith. You have believed and found yourself attached to the promise. So some of Israel, they didn't believe and they were cast aside. They were broken off from the branch. But some of you believed. Some of you Gentiles, you believed, and as a result of your belief, but you stand fast through faith, as a result of your belief, you found yourself attached to Jesus Christ. And because you know what took place in Israel, because you know that some of those who were born into the promise, who were given the opportunity right away, have been broken off, because you know that this is true, so do not become proud, but fear. This true realization about Israel should make us careful to live according to God's pleasure rather than arrogant about the place that we have been given. He says, some of you are arrogant because now you are the chosen children. You are the ones who are in the family of God, and you become very arrogant about that. But he says, be careful. Remembering what has happened to Israel, you should not be arrogant about who you are, but you should be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he says, remember those who came from the root. What is the root? The root is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those who came from the root were broken off because they did not believe. He says, so when you become proud and arrogant about your place in this family of God, and I am protected, and Jesus has to forgive me, and grace has to be in my life, remember that those who came from the root were broken off because they did not believe. God didn't let them just continue in their unbelief. He broke them off. He says, I'm done. You're not a part of this anymore. So our conclusion should be, and Paul says, neither will he spare you. Our conclusion should be, those who have been added in cannot assume they are more secure than those who were born into their position. Don't think that somehow you have become more special than these Israelite people. So let's look at both sides, he says. Note then, I like this verse. Note then the kindness and severity of God. He's making this argument about being grafted in and being a natural branch. And then he says, let's take a minute here and let's note this, all right? Note then the kindness and severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen. First of all, nobody is safe from wrath. So he says, let's remember this, all right? It doesn't matter whether you're from the nation of Israel or you're a Gentile. He says, nobody's safe from wrath. Severity towards those who have fallen. God has cast off those who have rejected him in unbelief. So everyone who has rejected God in unbelief, they're cast off. They're going to face his wrath. It doesn't matter who you are. But God's kindness to you, provided you continue in that kindness. So nobody is safe from wrath, but God has shown his care and goodness to those who have believed and trusted in him. You hear this? See these two realities? The one, if you do not believe God and you do not trust him and you do not follow him, you are going to face God's wrath. But if you have believed in him, then you are under his care and goodness because you have believed and trusted him. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. All those who have not trusted him are broken branches. It doesn't matter what you do for God. There were Israelites living then, during Paul's time, whose determination was to kill the Apostle Paul. Do you know why they were trying to kill the Apostle Paul? Because they believed with all their heart and mind that God wanted them to do that. So they were acting according to their rules and according to their law and according to their knowledge, but they were not believing what God had revealed about himself. And this is important because we have individuals all over the world who believe in God. They believe in Jesus. They may even believe in the Holy Spirit. They may believe that the Bible is a good book. But they do not believe what God has revealed about himself according to the scriptures. And as a result of that, they are living in unbelief, and they will be broken off. They will not be a part of the root that was established in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They will not be a part of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 23, and even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. So he says, first of all, he says, nobody's safe from wrath, but those who have believed have been brought into his care and his goodness, and all of those who have not trusted him are the broken branches who will be left to the side. But he says, even they, even the broken branches, this is the nation of Israel, those who have rejected Christ, even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, so if they don't continue in their unbelief, that means that they believed, they will be grafted in. So here's what we need to understand is that even though Israel has rejected Jesus as the Messiah, except for some, there are some of Israel who still believe in Jesus, but we're talking about the nation as a whole, have not believed him. Even though they have not believed him, there is still hope for them. Because if Israel will believe, then they will be given their place again. That's what we're waiting for. Someday, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to meet us in the clouds and he's going to bring the church to be with him. And there's going to be 7 years in which 144,000 Jewish men are going to share the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. They're going to come to this realization that Jesus was the Messiah. And the nation of Israel as a whole will come to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. He will come down out of the clouds and he will make war, and the nation of Israel will cry out and they will say, that is our King. We're waiting for that. We're waiting for that day. And then 1,000 years on this earth of Jesus Christ reigning as the pure and righteous judge here on earth. So there is hope for Israel, even though they have rejected Christ now, that as a nation they would come to Christ again, that when they do that, they will be given their place again, they will be grafted back in, for God has the power to graft them in again. He says, with God, those who are broken off do not have to stay that way. He says, it doesn't matter what our rules of logic are. It doesn't matter what our thoughts and plans for Israel are. God says, if I want to graft them back into the promise that I had given them, then I can do that, and he will. There's still hope for Israel. For if they were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? I need you to take a minute and think about these verses. Think about what God has done for you. We've talked about what he did for the nation of Israel. We talk about how their rejection has made salvation possible for us. We talked about how we're waiting for the day when Israel will repent of their rejection of God and they will call out to Jesus as Messiah and be grafted back in to the root where they are supposed to be. But I want you to think about what God has done for you who were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree. You were individuals without a promise or any hope. That's what we were. As individuals, Gentiles, we didn't have God's promise. We didn't have a hope of salvation. But we've been grafted contrary to our nature, contrary to what we were. Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians says that we were individuals who were living in darkness. We were pursuing the things of this world. We were blinded by our sin. says, we have been grafted, he says here, we have been grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree. So we were individuals without a promise or any hope, and then God gave you a family, gave us a family where we did not belong. My grandfather talks about coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior at the rescue mission. Just a little boy. Street kid in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and a Seventh-day Adventist family took him in. And they began to teach him about the Bible. They began to teach him what being part of a family was like. Of course, this was a foster family, so eventually he was there for a little while, and eventually he was taken to another one, and finally he came to Factoryville Bible Church, where he grew in his faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says it was not normal for him to be a part of a family where there was rule and order, where things were different, where people weren't drinking and yelling and shouting at each other all the time. When we have been called into the family of God, we've been called into something that doesn't seem normal to us. Living amongst the body of Christ doesn't seem normal. Giving to the care of others doesn't seem normal. Cherishing and praying for and loving those individuals who are in our lives doesn't seem normal. That's contrary to our nature. But now we have been brought into something by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that is contrary to that nature. We've been given a family where we didn't belong, but we belong now. And he says, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? He says, do you not think that God would just as readily give a place to those who gave up by their unbelief the position which they should have had naturally? I'll tell you what, my grandparents, as a result of being in foster care, my grandfather has fostered 23 or 24 children. And I've seen those foster kids. Some of them are following the Lord, and many of them are not following the Lord. And I've seen some of them come back to my grandparents, and they want to make restitution because of the things that they did and while they were living with them and the hardship that they created in the home. And my grandparents are gracious to take them in and to love them and to forgive them and to welcome them back. But don't think for a moment that they wouldn't be so much elated if one of their own children had walked away from the family and they came back and says, I want to be restored. When Israel finally turns back to the Lord, our Father in heaven is going to be elated about that. And the whole world is going to rejoice with him. All of Christianity will joy and take pleasure in what has taken place. Some important biblical realities. Israel is God's chosen nation to bring salvation to the world. God chose that. We don't get to change it. It was his plan. It was his idea. They are the ones. Israel did not follow or accept God's plan for salvation of the world. So they were chosen, but then they said, no, we like our plan better than your plan. And through unbelief, some of Israel has been cast aside. They've been pushed aside. But as a result of their unbelief, salvation has come to the world through Jesus' death on the cross. Now, I don't know how God would have done it. God's plan has always been to save the world, and I don't know how God would have done it if Israel would have gone, oh yeah, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You will be our king, and we're going to praise you and make you the king when he was here. I don't know what would have taken place. I don't know if Rome would have crucified him. I don't know what would have happened, but I know that the result of Israel's rejection has been the way, the means of our salvation. But when Israel finally realizes that they were in error, that Jesus is the Messiah and they crucified him, they will again be included in the promise intended for them, but now shared with all who are in Jesus. So my question, as we look at a passage like this that is highly difficult to understand, I understand that. I told my friend Nathan, I'm going through passages of Scripture right now that you don't take to preachers' conferences, right? This is difficult stuff. But I hope you recognize that there is a way of salvation that has been made for you that is not built on what you have done, but is built on the belief that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins. And he rose again, proving that he will bring us all to be with him in heaven again.